This is Steve Sherlock on another in a series of internet radio shows or podcast, number 97 in the series for Franklin Matters. This is the fifth in a series of 8 audio segments recorded during the informational session on the new high school. The forum was conducted by the school building committee and held at the Horace Mann Auditorium on Thursday, November 17th, 2011. This fifth segment continues the question and answer period with Tom Mercer, school building committee chair, Jim Jordan, partner and owner of AI3 Architects, and Sean Fennell, project manager, providing answers. Ed Cafasso, a member of the school building committee, chimes in to talk about the communication process. The questions covered during this segment include: what is the scale of savings talked about for energy rebates? What is the cost of designing a green building? How do we package this building to sell it well? Do you have the numbers on what the total cost would be? Is the Remington Jefferson debt exclusion coming off the books around the same time? Does anyone have statistics on house valuations for districts with good schools? Does the tax figure include the reimbursements? So without further ado, here's the recording from Thursday evening, November 17th.
When we designed Whitman Hansen, that project received, and you could Google Whitman Hansen and look up the energy rebates, the single most incentive points or rebate check ever distributed by NSTAR, I believe it was. The actual president of NSTAR came from England to tour the facility and actually hand-deliver the check to the chairman of the building committee because he was so proud of what we did there. That was a different time. We weren't involved with LEED at that point, and Mass Chips wasn't in existence. That building, we kind of set the benchmark for designing Massachusetts CHIPS through that pilot project.
My question is just, if the project is $100 million, right, by jumping through all these hoops, and I'm all for green energy, but if we jump through all these hoops, what is the number?
Well, there's a baseline to from a financial point of view, what you want to do with this. This project is in part funded by the MSBA, the state. This project, they have a varying reimbursement rate depending on the community. A number of factors go into it. I think Franklin's reimbursement rate we're anticipating is on the order of
57.8%. And I can tell you in 2008 when I started this project, we were told we would be between 30 and 34% reimbursement. And since that time, and for different reasons, some of which the model school program got us an extra 5 points, as Sean was just alluding to, this LEED certification, you get 2 points for getting, you have silver, gold, platinum, you heard. Silver gets you the 2 reimbursement points. You don't get any more reimbursement points for being gold or platinum, so I'm not sure we want to go there, because there's a cost associated.
All right, so I can get away. You assume someone's making a judgment that for jumping through all these hoops to make all these design changes around green facilities and that the payback is there.
Mm-hmm.
You have this big courtyard and it brings in light, great, but if you could use that space and bring light in other ways, maybe you don't get the LEED certification, but you have a more efficient building for students.
You bring up an excellent point. There is a definite cost with designing a building to be green. And if you go back to the days when we designed Whitman Hansen back in 2002, 2003, going into 2004, the cost of designing green buildings back then for educational facilities was about 3% extra on top of the total construction cost for the building. That has significantly dropped over the years. Recent trending, there's a number of studies out there that you could look at online. Davis Langdon did a study, Greening American Schools, Cost Benefits and Categories by Gregory Katz. Recent studies like that, as well as what we've been exposed to, has shown that because of the increased amount of green materials that are on the market, and older materials being taken off the market, that the cost of greening facilities currently for educational buildings is roughly about a little over 1%. The state gives you 2% to meet LEED Silver certification, but we're finding that it only costs 1% more to design to that standard, so you're actually making money by greening your facility. So it makes sense from a cost standpoint. We look at payback analysis on all the items that we include in the school, from the photovoltaic array down to the gray water collection system. There's an obvious cost to include that, but what's the payback? What's the payback for putting daylight dimming sensors, occupancy sensors in the classroom, increasing daylight so the lights really never turn on or they're only on 50% of the time? So all those things are embedded in this energy audit that our green consultant goes through, and that it's a lengthy process and it takes time to get through it, but you raise a good point. There is a cost, but that cost has significantly dropped over the last 6 years, so that it makes sense to green the schools now and take advantage of the 2% reimbursement rate by the MSBA.
All right, so my main point was kind of tying into something I said earlier. When we're going, we want, a lot of parents here want this to work. We want our kids to have a top-notch school. When I'm looking at the Franklin School Proposed Building Project Frequently Asked Questions page, I see a bunch of things. And if I'm a naysayer in town, I'm looking at this list and I'm saying, we don't need this school to answer these things. So how do we package this to sell it to the town that's saying we're going to address these points, but here's the tangible benefits the kids are getting? Because to me, this is going to go to the town, and in the previous years, all these overrides have gotten shot down because no one wants to spend money because the case isn't really, it's not a compelling case.
Again, one of the things that we haven't touched on that certainly should, and that is, first and foremost, it's a debt exclusion. It's not an override. It's a debt exclusion. The difference between the two, a debt exclusion has an end. An override does not have an end. And the plan is the MSBA board meets in January.
It's the third week of January.
Third week of January is when the final vote will be taken by the MSBA board to approve our design, our schematic design. And after that vote, whatever day that is, we have 120 days to fund that project, the town has. So if that's the 27th of January, from that day, we have 120 days to get a debt exclusion or whatever on the ballot and voted. And then we go from there. Once it passes, then we move into the next phase. But we don't move in. Part of what we've had to do, and part of, and it's an MSBA requirement, we continue the process so that as we're as we finish the schematic design, we go right into design development even during that 120 days so that we're not losing any time. And our hope is that we, with a positive vote from the town, and what I would guess would be late February, March, but that will be a decision that would be made by the town council, that we would have a shovel in the ground sometime late summer of next year, 2030.
I'm sorry. You're talking about parking.
Sure. Let's say. And then we'd be looking at opening the school probably the fall of 2014. That's if everything goes as we hope it will. From this point, the fall of 2014 is when we move. Yes.
Just the rough numbers then. I mean, when you boil it all down for every house, can I take what's just the rough numbers? You're asking me about per year. It's $100 a year.
Until we know what the estimate, the project cost is, or the estimate, then we will figure that out. We're 2 weeks from having all that information and being able to tell you that it's $250, $300, whatever it is. We're approximately 2 weeks from having that to the average household.
My yes. understanding is there's a debt exclusion, or there was a debt exclusion on Remington Jefferson, correct? That is coming off the books?
Yes.
Around the same time? Is that right?
We do have, currently there, the town has three debt exclusions running. You have Remington Jefferson, you have Keller Sullivan, and you have this one. Remington Jefferson comes off either next year or the year after. But again,
do you know what that amount is?
Do I know what that amount is? You're talking about an $18 million project. So what will that number be? Maybe a guess would be $30.
Well, my only point in saying that is that if you're
If it's $280 to cost every household, it's really $250, and that will be part of that will obviously be part of our discussion, and we will put those numbers out there so that everybody understands. Maybe if the cost is $280 to the average household, but in 2014 it becomes $250.
Just one more question: does anybody have the statistics on the home appreciation valuations of houses?
There's some general studies that support that, and I think if you go and talk to any real estate agent anywhere where a new school has been built, they can talk to you about that. I mean, there's hard evidence of that. There's specific studies around the schools built in Massachusetts. We'd have to look. I haven't seen it. But to your point, and to your point, ma'am, and this gentleman's point, within a couple of weeks, you know, once we have the... What we don't want to do is go out with numbers that are estimates, and some people say, oh, you said this, and now it's that, and you said it was going to be this much off my on my tax bill, and now it's going to be $10 more, and you guys don't know what you're doing. So what we're trying to do is, to the extent that there's FAQs posted up there now, is to sort of get people, give people an understanding of what's happened from the past to this point. And once we get all the final numbers, the final drawings, the final pictures, and approvals, we're going to be able to be in a position to put together how much is it going to cost you. How much more classroom and educational space there is? What are the green aspects? What's coming off the debt? So we'll be able to put together a package, a marketing plan, and essentially, a campaign to get support for the debt exclusion. And it's going to, as we're here tonight, if people are interested in volunteering for that, please let us know. There'll be an effort to recruit prominent people and regular citizens and parents in the community to support the debt exclusion as necessary for the kids and for great property values and a good education.
We will be going out and we'll be going to BCC meetings. We'll be going to, we'll have many more of these public meetings. The next one I plan to have would be in early January. Obviously, because of the holidays, it's not the right time to do it, but right in early January, all of these recent questions as far as funding, dollars, estimate, all of that information will be there then, and we'll really be able to give you a fine tune on some of the numbers. And one of the other things that we didn't touch on that everybody needs to understand, and there's some misinformation out there. The project costs associated with this project, when the project cost comes out, that cost includes the demolition of the existing school, the replacement of all the fields that we're displacing with the new facility, as well as the asbestos abatement, all the abatement that's involved in all of that, everything, soup to nuts, is included, will be included in that total project cost. And I know I've heard different stories out there. Well, you know, who's going to tear down the old school, and who's going to replace the fields? It's all included in the
furniture.
Furniture and technology. The other thing to note about the project cost is the way MSBA works. You know, their 57% of the cost will be paid as we go. Right now, for the architect's fee and my fee, we're actually getting checks every month from the MSBA. That offset the cost. So it's not like we have to finance their share and get paid back in 20 years. So that's how it works through construction. So literally at the end of construction, we have gotten a grant amount from MSBA. So
does that figure, the tax figure to Mr. and Mrs. whomever, does that reimbursement go into that?
Yeah, so right. The figures you'll be getting about what the tax impact is annually per household would be just the town's share of that.
So without the reimbursement, it would be double.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Reimbursement is critical. That's
without
why
it
pays
so much. It would be 60%.
Be sure to listen to the other parts of the series. Part 1 covers the introduction and evolution of the model school invitation. Part 2, Jim Jordan, partner and owner of AI3 Architects, provides an overview of the building itself. Part 3 covers question and answers around the educational space and construction cost. Part 4 covers question and answers around the various project costs and overall process. Parts 6, 7, and 8 will continue to bring us through the question and answer period and ultimately to the closing. While this podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, I can use your help. How can you help, you ask? If you like this, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. This feedback loop is so important. Thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008. And used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.